Okay, Google search is being disrupted. So all of us marketers have to get much, much better at multimodal content, and AI is going to make it much easier. In this episode, I'm going to break down the critical skill that our marketers have to learn to continue to engage an attracted audience. I'm going to give you the ways that you can start doing that today and an advanced prompt to help you on your way. All of that and more on this episode of Marketing Against the Grain. I'm Kieran Flanagan, your co-host of Marketing Against the Grain. This is a solo episode. Let's get into today's show.
Before we get back to today's show, here's a quick word from HubSpot. Finding a service solution that helps you better connect with customers and keep them happy can feel impossible. Like, try to remember the name of that guy you just met at a networking event. Was it Ron? Could it be Don or John or Sean? Yeah, that kind of impossible. HubSpot's new Service Hub can help. Well, with the service solution part, at least. It brings service and success together on one powerful platform for the first time ever. With an AI-powered help desk, and an AI chatbot that handles frontline tickets fast. Plus, it comes with a customer success workspace that helps reps anticipate customer needs and a full 360 view of every customer, so your go-to-market team can keep up on the pulse of accounts before trying to upsell or cross-sell. Also, you can scale support and drive retention and revenue. And you know what that means? Better service and happier customers at every stage of the journey. Visit HubSpot.com/service to do more for your customers today.
This is a special solo episode. It's one of four parts. Kip and I will likely do the other ones together. We're going to talk about the AI marketing playbook for the 5%. What do I mean by the 5%? Well, we had the quote from Sam Altman, whether he said it or not, it was a really good thought exercise. 95% of a marketer's job in the future might be automated by AI. We want to be the marketers in the 5%, which means you are actually the marketers in demand. You have the skill set that companies really truly care about in the AI era. The AI era is coming, whether you like it or not, just like Terminator 2, Terminator 3, Terminator 4, Terminator 5, all of the bad Terminators. Terminator 2 was by far the best version of all those movies. Every single one got worse and worse and worse. But it's like all the Terminator movies, they are just inevitable. They are going to come because they create so much money. The AI era is coming. These models are going to get better. We're going to be able to automate more and more work. And so you want to be in the 5%. The 5% are going to have the best jobs. They're going to make the most money. They are going to be the most employable. But to be in the 5%, you have to understand, what is the AI marketing playbook look like? What does the marketing playbook look like for the AI era? When I think through this, we had the kind of web one era, right? And we had the outbound tactics. We had a little bit of email spam. Like, we had all those things that were really attributed to like the worst side of marketing. And then you had the web two, which was really the inbound era. Like, how do we create value for customers? How do we have buyers be in control of the buy-in cycle? And then you're coming into the AI era and we want to understand what's that look like. I think there's four pillars that will really matter in that era. There's something called a multimodal content strategy. There is personalization at scale. There is creator-led strategies. And then there's the collapsing of the customer journey into marketing. And I want to cover them individually on episodes because I think it's much better when we focus on one segment and we go a little deeper in that segment. And then we can actually do a cool prompt session because I think people really like when we actually try to work through things in real time. So I'm actually going to try to develop a prompt to build a media strategy based upon this multimodal principle. So that's the start. What do we mean by multimodal? And why does this thing going to matter during AI? Okay, let's start with this. Multimodal is a media strategy that is across multiple formats. And multimodal in AI, it means the AI can take text as an input and output video, take images as an input and output video, take video as an input and output text. So you can actually create content formats much, much easier. So you can take some content formats and recreate them in other formats. So what is the disruption going on here? Like, why do we think that multimodal content and content in all of these different formats is going to be so critical to the AI era? So what's going to cause this kind of multimodal content strategy, having media in many formats, to become ever more important? Well, let's go back to the talk track that we've had time and again on this podcast. If you're looking at my screen, you can see a site called StatCounter. And StatCounter is a really good site because it allows you to see the split of search engine traffic over time, or sorry, the search engine market share over time. So what is the search engine market share over time? And I can break that into individual countries. And so what I'm looking at here is something that's really interesting. I am looking at the search engine share that Google has in the US from April 2028 to April 2024. And when we look at that chart, we notice something pretty interesting. Google's search engine market share in North America, it's really always actually been around 90%, right? Google's search engine market share, about 90% for a very long time. And then in April, it dips to below 80%. And actually, Bing has a real increase here of around 5% to 11%. So Bing, which I did say to give me some credit, because I like to give myself a bunch of credit, all the way back in November 2022, and I think into December 2022, and I had a funny graphic of like Bing rising from the dead, I did say that Bing might start to steal some search engine market share from Google because they were so quick on the Copilot and Google were so slow out of the gates. And I think the reason Google were slower out of the gates is because they had much more to lose, right? They are the market leader. Most of the revenue comes from AdWords. And so they want to be pretty thoughtful about how they integrate AI into their product, where Bing, let's face it, Bing has not got great market share anywhere. They don't have a lot to lose, right? And what we could be seeing here is that people are starting to really prefer an answer engine versus a search engine, right? People actually want these Copilot experiences. And because Bing was so early, they're starting to gain some market share. Now, there could be other things going on here. There could be a data anomaly. There could be a large partner had integrated Bing over Google. We don't know, but it is pretty interesting that the theme and the theses that Kip and I have had on the show that Google's search engine market share would be disrupted because of AI is starting to look like that is happening in North America in April. But to play the other side of this, and it's always good to play the other side. So that's the side that, hey, search is being disrupted. Google is losing market share. So the other thing I would share before we get into the actual multimodal strategy, this pretty cool report came out from a website called Dados, their Clickstream data. And it was in response to another story that we covered where Gartner had said by 2026, we may see a 25% drop in search volume because of these AI chat agents, right? So that we would see a migration away from search engine usage to actually AI bot chat usage. And Gartner had predicted that could be as much as 25% in 2026. Now, what this entire report proves is that is not happening today, and that the amount of search queries being done each and every day is remaining pretty stagnant, and Google's share of those search queries is remaining pretty consistent. What I would show that I think is really interesting, again, I actually always like to steel man my own argument. I do think Google are going to be under pressure from these AI chat agents. I think they are a better experience for a lot of queries. And I think that at some point people will choose them because they are easier and quicker. However, I like to make sure that I am always poking holes in my own arguments. And what you can see on the screen is 120 days usage of a user on Google and how many queries they did each and every day. So you can see on Google, and again, I want to spell this out for people who are just listening along. What it's showing you is on Google, the average user does at least one search per day. So they're actually active every single day on Google. Whereas the chart I'm showing now is OpenAI. And what I'm showing for OpenAI is there is a real falling off a cliff and that the user uses OpenAI to begin with, and then their usage falls off a cliff. Now, that does not mean it's a fad, but it does mean that these AI chatbots really need to figure out how to become much stickier for these users. Whereas Google obviously has had decades of building up the brand name in search, and you have users who are using and default into that engine each and every day. But so there's two parts to this. That is, like, if you were going to steel man the argument for Google search remaining consistent, you would say, well, actually, the amount of search volume queries, like the amount that people are searching each and every day, each and every week, is remaining consistent, and Google's share of that is remaining pretty consistent. And then when you look at the usage on Google versus the usage in OpenAI, Google is just much, much more stickier. Why is this important, this multimodal pillar that I think is going to be part of the AI marketing playbook. Well, we marketers have really defaulted to text-based content because that is the best kind of content to acquire traffic and customers from Google. And for the most part, that content is quite educational because it's educational keywords like how do I do things that has performed historically pretty well in Google. Now, you have to take your position on what you believe will happen in the future, right? The best people have a point of view, have conviction, and build towards that point of view. So you have to look at the data you have available to you and the consumer habits you have available to you and decide which way you think it will go. Because if you wait until it's gone that way, then you will get run over by all the people who built for the thing that they thought was going to happen, right? Having a point of view, having conviction and building towards that is really important, I think, as a marketer. And really what a marketer tries to do is track consumer behavior. And so what I've showed you is the kind of bull and bear case, right? I've showed you the bear case for Google and that Google actually could get very disrupted by these kind of AI chatbots. And I showed you that using the kind of search engine market share and how Google is starting to lose that in April 2024. It's actually the lowest it's been in North America since 2009. Or the bull case. And the bull case is, hey, search query volume remains pretty consistent. Google's share of that remains pretty consistent. And when you look at the usage of these AI chatbots, they are kind of falling off a cliff and Google's is pretty consistent. Now, I am definitely on the Google is going to be disrupted. AI is going to drastically disrupt search as we know it, in particular in informational keywords. And that means educational content, the content we have created traditionally to acquire users and customers is going to be heavily disrupted. And I think I'm right. I've talked to enough people and enough companies who have great organic strategies for the most part, building this educational content. And they are seeing keyword ranking remain consistent, but actually getting much less volume over time, right? So I think we're already seeing that happen. And so multimodal content means we have to have a media strategy that takes that into account. And so if you believe that, if you're on the Kieran side of the argument, you will start to think about how do I build a media strategy or a content strategy that takes that into account and actually start to really build for some of these other channels that we may have never really built for or we've not tried to master, whether that's video on social, which is actually one of the number one ways you'll see Gen Z find products, and they are going to be buyers of B2B. They're buyers of B2C today. They're buyers of B2B in the future. One of the top ways that they find products is actually on social through videos. Why is AI going to disrupt that? We've talked about the disruption that's happening from AI in terms of disrupting Google as a channel, which means it will disrupt the kind of content and media we put out. We used to put out text-heavy content to rank in Google to acquire customers. If that gets disrupted, we have to build for these other channels that we traditionally have not built for or that are really hard. Video on social, right? Video on social is much harder because you are competing against all of the other video on social that is vying for that person's attention. YouTube. Kip and I believe that YouTube is this generation's TV, right? It will disrupt TV. If you're a brand, you want a channel on YouTube. YouTube could be a benefactor of the fact that Google's traditional search engine gets disrupted, where we see more people gravitate towards YouTube. YouTube is much harder to grow. Video is much harder to do, and it's much harder to monetize that demand. Newsletters, podcasts, like all of these mediums are very different from trying to grow a search channel, and they're actually harder to monetize. And the other thing that has been difficult in going after those channels is they are just more time consuming. Like video is more time consuming, audio is more time consuming. And so we've always been stuck in the tooling. Like maybe we need a designer, a videographer, a producer, whatever it may be. You just need a bigger set of resources to be able to do that really well. And so the hypothesis here is that AI will actually unlock a lot of marketers' creativity by providing the tools that they need to do video and audio at much more scale, and even text, right? If you actually look at this, I love this from Sequoia, and I think we might have covered this, but I'm just going to do a quick rehash for the people listening along. I'm showing a Sequoia article that is really their tech stack for generative AI Act 2. And this graphic that I'm showing here, which is the generative AI market map, one thing I want to draw your attention to is the tools that are being created for voice, right? We have all of these AI tools that are going to help us much more easily create podcasts and create audio-driven content from 11 Labs, Resemble.ai, Murph.ai, like Descript, obviously, just tools that allow us to create audio much easier. Like the first time I used Descript to edit a podcast, it's a 10x improvement, right? Just being able to do it all via text, like edit the text and it will automatically edit the words. Like when you start to be able to do things like that much easier, you're just going to be able to unlock your creativity and bring it to life in these other content formats much easier. Video creation tools, right? Here I'm showing like the video creation tools and the editing tools from Runway, vid.io, Descript, Captions, Loom, TikTok. Like all of these different companies are producing tools that allow us to bring our ideas to life much easier through video. And we've seen OpenAI Sora. We've seen versions of that from Microsoft, where we're likely going to see versions of that from Google when they can get it QA'd in a way that doesn't give them a big negative press story. And so we're going to start to see more and more tooling allow us to bring our ideas to life much, much easier through video, right? Whether that's in the creation of video or the editing video. And that to me is an unlock for marketers, right? I think marketers are going to need to excel at how do they create this multimodal, multi-format content experience. And if you're a marketer and you're listening to this, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like I get the disruption. I get the bear and bull case. Like I'm going to pick my side. The bear case, hey, Google is already losing market share. We see it in April, the bull case. You know, we see search engine query volume stay the same. We're seeing these AI chatbot usage fall off a cliff. And all right, I get how AI helps us move from text-based towards multimodal, multi-format. And I get why that's important, because we've traditionally created educational content, text-based content to rank in search. Well, if that's not as important, we need to start building for these other channels, like video-first channels, audio-first channels, to make sure that our content is resonating with our audience, get into our audience, engage in our audience, and converting some of that audience into customers. Now, you might be sitting there and going, okay, cool, but you haven't really told me what I should do. And I think part of the problem of telling you what to do is this is such an in-flight space, right? The video tools are not there yet. If you've used HeyGen, for example, if any of you took the course, thank you for doing that I put out. You'll see the HeyGen videos of me, lack of motion, really easy to tell that it's me, very monotone. Now, HeyGen are releasing more and more features that I think will help with those things. But for the most part, right, I hope this version of me is better than that version of me, and you would like to listen to this version of me a little bit more. But boy, creating those videos was so good, right? I had AI build a video script for me, and I did a bit of editing while I was sitting on my couch. And normally what I would do is like do the video myself, go up to my little studio that I have upstairs, and then record the video. But this was like, hey, ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini Advance, write me the script, edit the script, plug the script into HeyGen, use my studio avatar, and hey, presto, video. I did not have to come upstairs, not get into my studio, not turn on all my lights, and you've got five videos of me teaching someone something. And I think in certain cases, when you're teaching certain subjects, being monotone, lacking emotion is actually okay. Like people will be okay with that. But we're going to be at a place where you can capture me much more realistically in a very short amount of time. So it's hard to predict. And so what do you do today? Well, the first thing is practice, practice, practice. We had Gary Vaynerchuk on recently on the podcast. That's coming out this month. He just launched a new book called Day Trading Attention. He is the master of garnering attention. But you know what he's the master of? He is a master of his craft, right? He is a master of content creation. Now, Gary Vaynerchuk is worth anywhere north of $150 million. Now, if you take a step back and you had that amount of money, do you think you would be employing people to do all your content, write all your posts, and you would just be living your best life on a beach or skiing or whatever climate you like? Maybe. Gary, when we were on the podcast, he's like, hey, give me a second here. I'm just trying to perfect this content to get my Instagram post live. In speaking to him, he knew more about content creation than most people I've talked to who run content creation teams and companies, right? He knew more about content creation than any marketer that I speak to. Now, he's Gary Vaynerchuk. He's wrote books. Why is that surprising? It doesn't surprise me, but he knows his craft. And if you're at his level of success, I think it's admirable for him to be still deep within the craft, right? When he does these videos explaining to entrepreneurs and marketers how to build an audience for their brand, he doesn't need to do any script writing because he knows the craft, right? He can just actually tell them based upon his own experiences. And the interview with him is coming out soon, and it's a must listen. So number one, practice, right? If you have not used any of these tools, if you have not tried to take some content and recreate it in audio or video or create something from scratch, you are not in the 5%, right? You are not the people that I am talking to right now because you're not in the 5%. I want you to be in the 5%. I actually embed in my entire career that AI is a paradigm shift for marketing. It's what I want to spend my entire time doing, right? If you want to be in the 5%, you have to make some sort of commitment. Practice, practice, practice. Build your reps. Try to do some things in these tools. Sure, the tools are not where they need to be right now, but boy, when they get better and better, you already know how to use them. Now, I did say I'd take some sort of content and, you know, recreate it in those formats. I tend to think that content that works in text, video, and audio is very different. And so you have to create something for those mediums in mind. Gary told us that actually when you're creating video in social, YouTube, these kind of platforms, they're all very different. And the first 1 to 10 seconds matters a lot. And it needs to be different across each and every platform. Mr. Beast tests thumbnails on YouTube hundreds of times because those small things matter. So platform specific content, medium specific content really matter. All right, here's the lazy marketer, right? The lazy marketer goes, cool. I have an educational blog post and this used to get me some traffic. And darn, Kieran's bearish case for Google is coming true. It's getting less traffic because educational content has been democratized because AI is actually very good at creating educational content, right? Whatever educational content you've created for search traffic and for this keyword, if it doesn't have proprietary data or something very unique, it's been replicated 100 times. Now we're just in the case of like whose site ranks better. So Kieran's right. I'm listening. Darn, what am I going to do here? I'm going to get smoked. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take his advice and I'm going to take this educational blog post and then I'm going to just put it through these AI tools and have multiple videos created and multiple audio episodes of some podcast created. And that is the lazy marketer. The lazy marketer is nowhere near the 5%. The lazy marketer is getting steamrolled and they don't even know it because what works in different formats and different platforms are wildly different from each other, right? Like one of the fun things I did when ChatGPT or OpenAI released their code interpreter plugin that allowed you to easily do data analysis is I exported the YouTube performance of our episodes and the RSS performance of our episodes. And then I asked it to create this kind of pivot table where I could see the overlap, like what episodes performed great across each platform. You know, the sad thing, none. It was literally one. They are so different, right? What performs well in YouTube does not perform as well in RSS. This should be a given, right? If you are a logical being, this should be a given. One of them is a very visual experience and one of them is a very audio experience. But the lazy marketer does not know that, or they do know that, they don't care. And they're just trying to regurgitate things across each and every platform, the same stuff, right? So you have to have differentiation, which means you really need to pick a platform that matters for your audience. And then you have to go after that and make sure that you are creating something in that format for that audience, for that platform. The other thing that we are going to go through as marketers, number three, on getting prepared for the multimodal content format strategy is we have been spoiled with search. I have been spoiled with search, right? I came in as an engineer. I was like a coder. And then I got into the technical parts of marketing first. And search was like pretty technical when I got into it. And I was like, boy, this is cool. Like I can do this thing and then I can acquire traffic and I can see it convert into customers and I'm worth a certain amount of dollars. I could actually see the value I was creating for the company. And what's better yet is the people who were looking at my performance could see the value I drove for that company, right? You could see it in the reports. Hey, Kieran did these things. Now traffic is this. Now users are this. Now customers are this. Now each customer is worth this amount of revenue. Now Kieran's creating X amount of revenue. And I can go, hey, cool, give me some more money, please, right? Spoiled. Search, what an incredible marketing channel we were given by Google, right? That we were able to insert content right when a customer was looking for that thing, educate that customer, and actually have that customer go through our marketing funnel. That is a direct attribution channel that we can directly correlate the work we do or its causation. We can directly see the impact from the work we do. These other channels that we are going to get much better at because of tooling and because we have to, and because they are the channels that are continuing to grow, like especially video and social and these other YouTube, they are much more indirect, right? For the most part, they are much more indirect where it's hard to say the customer directly came from the work I did, right? You can do the work and then you can build these correlation models that you can correlate the increase in customer conversion to the work that you're doing, but it's not direct. And if you're a founder, and I know this, you can poke holes in it, right? You can say, well, I don't believe you. Like, we released this feature. We got this press. We did this. I don't know if you really took advantage of that. Like, you got all these views, but you got all this engagement. But I don't know if that was your team. Like, this was maybe the other teams. That is a hard battle to fight, right? And so one of the things you really have to get good at is educating your manager or your execs, whoever they are, on the benefits of doing the indirect stuff. Because we are going to be doing much more indirect stuff, right? We've got not just this, we've got the cookie problem, the privacy problem, we've got email tracking problem, lots of problems. So we are going into an era where there's going to be much more indirect, and actually the indirect channels are growing. AI is going to do a lot of creativity in the indirect. So I think that's going to be a real thing. So you're going to have to get really good at telling the story of why these channels are worth investing at. And that is your job as a marketer, right? Your job is to have a clear vision, be able to articulate that vision, why it matters. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Marketers have one of the hardest jobs in trying to convince people that their work matters. And it can be exhausting, but that's just part of the job. There's lots of other great parts that come with it. And the other thing is, it is good to diversify, right? And it's a really hard thing to say, but if you are very reliant on a Google right now, if you are very reliant on some of the paid channels right now, yeah, it's like, could be tough times ahead, right? The best time to diversify is when you're doing well, right? You are sitting there, you're like, hey, shut up, Kieran. We are crushing it. Like, we are killing it. And I get it. The thing that people tell me is, well, we only have a small team and we have to focus on the things that matter. I actually don't have a great response for that. I think you're right. For the most part, if you're a small team, do the things that work, right? Accelerate growth, do the things that work, but be mindful of the disruption that could be coming. And it's pretty easy to do that. Be in the craft, right? Look at the data being released. Keep an eye on your own data. Like, just be in the craft, right? Be on the stats counter. Look at the search engine traffic share. I'm keeping an eye on search engine query volume. Talking to other companies. Like, one of the things that you as a marketer should do is actually get to know other marketers in other companies that are tangential to you, so you can actually share, how are you seeing this? How are we seeing this? So be in the craft, be in the weeds. Understand when this might start to happen so you can get ahead of it. But yes, if you're a small team, a small company, certain things are working for you, then yeah, you don't want to pivot or deviate, or you don't have the bandwidth or resources to say, well, I'll take 20% and start to experiment with these other things. But you want to be mindful of it, be in the weeds, be in the craft.
We'll be right back. But before, let me tell you about another podcast I love. Nudge, hosted by Phil Agnew, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Ever noticed how the smallest changes can have the biggest impact? On Nudge, you learn simple evidence-backed tips to help you kick bad habits, get a raise, grow a business. Every bite-sized 20-minute show comes packed with practical advice. Nudge is fast-paced, but it's still insightful with real-world examples that you can apply. Oh, and it's the UK's fastest-growing business podcast. If you want an MBA's worth of insight in one podcast, this is the right show for you. Entrepreneurs will love this show because it's filled with repeatable, proven studies, not hearsay and one-off success stories. You're going to love the show because I was interviewed by Phil. You can go check out my episode. And I recently listened to an awesome episode. It's called 6 Scientifically Proven Persuasion Techniques. It's a must listen for anyone in marketing. Listen to Nudge wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's end on my favorite thing to do. Now, this might not be the best prompt because I actually did it 5 minutes before coming on here. I've had a very busy day, y'all. So please forgive me, but we are still going to do some cool prompting here. All right, so what is the prompt? So I want to end each of these ones with a prompt, right? We have personalization coming. We're going to have the creators one. We're going to have how the entire customer journey collapses into marketing. Way, marketeers, we're going to get much more of the customer journey. I believe that. It's going to be a great time to be a marketer. We're going to own the customer journey. We're going to do a bunch of cool stuff so the customer journey is not fragmented into us shipping our org design. The org design will be marketing, will be the customer experience team, and it will be awesome. Now, here is a prompt to build a little media strategy. And I'm going to go through the prompt so you can see what I really like about prompting is a couple of things, right? I think I'm going to do it in Gemini Advanced, right? So what I like about prompting is a couple of things. First of all, it's a great minimal viable way to like test something in AI, right? So for me, I like to test things like this, and there's like cool things that I might start to figure out if I should build a GUI around it, an app, and turn it into something. But I think it's a great minimal viable version that I can actually test in the wild. The other thing is you can see, and I'll go through the doc here first, and then I'll go through the actual results from the different chats. Again, this is not the best prompt, right? This took me 5 minutes. I apologize. I will build upon it. Here's what I will do. This is going into our prompt library for Marketing Against Grain's listeners. If you subscribe to the YouTube, you will hear about it first. We'll make sure we drop a specific update when we've released the prompt library. I will guarantee you all this prompt will be much better when I can iterate on it. But I like the fact that the prompt teaches you how to like just articulate the thing you were trying to do, right? Because you're actually trying to tell a AI human what you want done, and it forces you to like articulate the things that truly matter about that, right? So let's go through this prompt really quick. So we're going to build a quick task, right? Again, I'm going to spell this out for the people who are listeners. Thank you all for listening. If you want to get the full experience, we would appreciate you subscribing to YouTube. The YouTube channel is awesome, but also if you don't have time and you can only listen, I will make sure you get value here. We always start with a task, right? We want to tell it what the task is. And again, this is like pretty basic, but create a fun, engaging and differentiated media strategy for a product's target audience, right? We want to make sure that this is for a product's target audience. I could explain that better, which is basically what I'm saying is the audience of a product we would like to monetize at a later date, like something like that. But I started with a product target audience. Then I say, hey, the only input we need is like product name here. And then we're going to do steps. Now, there's some cool things in these steps. I tell it to do each of the below steps in sequence, right? Because sometimes it does them out of sequence or just doesn't do some. And only provide the output when you've reached the final step. And then I say, hey, let the user add the product name. And then, of course, I plead to the AI wanting to me to do well in my career. And I say, yo, if you don't do this really good, it's going to have a negative impact on my career, right? Just so you know, AI, I bet my entire career on you. I'm trying to spend all of my time learning how to work with you. And so, like, you know, give me some good output, right? Like, or this is going to be bad for me, right? So that is the first step. We've got the product name. Now, what would we want to do next? And again, this is why I like prompting. Forces you to build out like a little mini strategy. We want to do audience analysis. By the way, I know I'm going all over the place here, but I just want to say for the people who are listening, who are really deep into this, and you're saying, hey, this would be a much better thing if you built a specific agent for each of these steps and then handed over the work to each agent, like basically recursive AI agents who could take the work from each other and specialize an individual part. I agree. That is the next thing on my list. I'm actually working towards that. Some founders have been kind enough to give me access to their platform to do that. So yes, the prompt is good, but you would be much better building the individual steps as AI agents trained to do that thing. So I agree. First step, audience analysis, right? I tell it, hey, the first thing we really want to do is research the product's target audience, right? And so we want to capture some things here. We first of all want to provide a short summary of the typical buyer for this product, what job they have, what problem they have that the product solves. And then I tell them to capture that and put it into this kind of variable persona overview. Then I say, you'll then find topics that the buyer persona loves to consume content on that overlaps with the product being sold. Again, I can probably iterate on this and articulate it much better. This is why, again, I love doing prompts because it forces you to articulate something very, very well, even in your own mind. For example, HubSpot provides customers with a marketing platform. Their audience likes to consume content on subjects like growing traffic from Google. We would love to grow some traffic from Google. All of us right now, like Google, keep giving us that good traffic. Do not get cannibalized. Or how to do better social media, right? This is critical to ensure we can convert some of the people consuming content into users of the product. Try to tell it why I care about the overlap because I don't want to create content that I can't monetize into a customer. Again, give really good for when you're building out these things. You also want to do that for any kind of content strategy. This is very heavily B2B, right? I would probably build this a little different for B2C. So that's maybe something we can actually do a version of. Be sure to capture topics that the buyer persona has an interest in that could lead to a sale of the product and what you store that in the variable. And then I basically say, you'll also do an analysis of what mediums the buyer persona likes to consume. Is it blogs, newsletters? So I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't want to do all the mediums, right? You don't want to do a medium just for the sake of medium. You want to do something that that buyer actually gravitates towards and consumes something on. And so I ask it to do some analysis there. So that's my analysis step. The next step is I say, once you've done that research, then you want to come up with a list of content topics. Like, okay, what are the content topics we should really go after, right? Based upon your analysis of the target buyer persona, content consumption habits, all these different things, let's start with the topics. Like, what should I create content on? Then I say, hey, based upon what you now know about their persona and the content topics, choose one medium. So I've chosen one because I want to actually do this for smaller companies, companies who are trying to just like do one thing well, that most appeals to the target buyer. And then we want to create one media campaign for that product's brand to build an audience in that medium, right? So I tell it to provide a detailed overview of the campaign for that target buyer. The other thing I put here for fun was include any suggested creators. So this is starting to get into the other pillar that I have in this four-pillar AI marketing playbook strategy. Creators is another part of that, and we'll do a whole show on that. But I thought I would just see if the AI could integrate creators as part of this prompt and say, hey, like the creator should have a large audience for the content topic being covered, and they should be included in a fun and unique and different way so that my product can lean into that creator's audience to distribute the media that I create. Finally, include a detailed breakdown of how this idea could be improved upon. How do we make it 10x better? I actually could do a much better job there. You know, 10x is such a non-meaningful thing that I actually should actually quantify that better. And then I say, hey, like, go do this. Now, the fact that you have the ability for someone to actually do 100 versions of this, basically I could say to the AI, create 100 versions. I think that we probably are still not putting the right monetary value on how amazing that is. All right, let's end by showing you the output. I'm actually going to give Google a little bit of airtime here. So I'm going to go to Google Gemini Advanced. I did it in all three. I like Google's. I think it's pretty cool. All right, here we go. Here's the output. So I did Airbnb because I think I like Airbnb as a brand. I think Brian Chesky is an absolutely awesome CEO, visionary presenter. I think he's got great ideas. They just release icons. And I think there's just like, it's a brand that has a multitude of like fun content it could do, right? It could actually do so many fun content things, which they actually do a really good job of. All right, so let's quickly go through what Gemini Advanced has for Airbnb. So it does the audience analysis, right? It says persona overview. Airbnb's target audience is diverse, but some common threads include adventurous travelers, pretty good there, budget conscious explorers, and it gives a description there, and remote workers and digital nomads. So pretty spot on, right? Like understands who the persona is. Persona's topics. So Airbnb's audience is passionate about unique destinations, right? Off the beaten path locations. That is very true. Sustainable travel, pretty true. DIY adventures, pretty true. And then home design and inspiration. That's a pretty cool one because I would not have thought about that. I don't know if it's true or not, but if I got this back, I'd be like, wow, like that is something I should dig into. Like are people using Airbnbs as a way to do design inspiration? So I think that's pretty cool. Mediums, Airbnb audience likely engages with blogs and travel websites. True. Social media, and specifically Instagram and TikTok, very true. And YouTube. In YouTube, it says in-depth destination vlogs, Airbnb tours, travel day in the life content. So again, all of these pretty spot on. Now, again, what I would say is if you're looking at this saying, this is kind of cool, but I would have guessed that. This is number one iteration. What I would do is ask the AI to iterate on this 5 times and take the 5th one. It would usually do much better. So you can iterate on this and I would say, hey, do this again, but make it much more differentiated, detailed, and engaging. Like you can basically make it iterate on itself. And so it gets much more differentiated from the first answer it gives you. Now it says content topics, right? This is what we really want, right? What are the content topics? Now there's some good ones here, right? Hidden gem getaways, uncovering lesser known charm and destinations. I think that would resonate really well for Airbnb. Airbnb home transformation, showcasing before and after renovations of unique rental spaces. Again, this is a pretty interesting one because this is coming back to their topics that they care about, home design and inspiration. And then it says, kind of has that as a content topic. This is something I would dig into. I don't know if this is right or not, but it's cool because I had not thought about this as something that the Airbnb could do content on. Ultimate local guides. I think that one's pretty like done to death and not that interesting. Experience beyond stays. Highlighting unique Airbnb experiences, cooking, classes, local tours. So it knows that, you know, Airbnb has the experiences and that could be an angle to dig into. And then budget travel hacks. So what's the media campaign? I actually haven't looked at this. Let's focus on YouTube. Nice. YouTube is the thing that I love. So that's pretty cool. As a primary medium, giving it a visual appeal and popularity for travel enthusiasts. So the campaign it has here is Airbnb Unfiltered. Oh, let's go. Spicy. The concept is this campaign partners with popular travel vloggers to create raw, authentic videos documenting their Airbnb stay. The emphasis is on real, unscripted moments, mishaps, unexpected discoveries. And okay, so what you would do is line up a bunch of influencers, get them to stay in different Airbnb places, maybe go off the beaten track because that aligns with another content topic that it said people would be interested in. The cool thing here is it actually talks about creators that would be interesting for the vlogger. So it doesn't just say work with these vloggers or these influencers. It then says, hey, ideal collaborators for the adventurous content, relatable personalities would be Kara and Nate, Hey Nadine, and Mark Wines. It actually talks about the creators Airbnb could use for this campaign and what they do. Now, again, I could go in more detail here on why they would be the right people and how to include them. And then for the 10x improvement, it says to scale the campaign, Airbnb could create a contest for smaller travel creators to win an all-expenses-paid trip to film their own Airbnb unfiltered style video. Pretty cool. Launch a dedicated hashtag encouraging everyday users to share their unfiltered Airbnb moments for a chance to be featured. Again, pretty cool. Okay, so again, first pass from a prompt. This gets you thinking, right? You're sitting there and you're trying to design something super cool for Airbnb and you're staring at a blank page. This prompt gets you thinking of all of these ideas. And again, I would build upon this 5 times. I wouldn't take the first thing. And that is why I think multimodal is going to be such an incredible part of a marketer's tool set, because we're going to get the tools, we're going to get our creativity ideas unlocked, we're going to get AI to actually give us some really good starting points for this creativity, and then we're going to be able to bring it to life in really interesting ways through AI itself. Pillar number one of the new AI marketing playbook that Kip and I are going to start to talk to a lot more is multimodal content strategies, multimodal media strategies. And this is the first deep dive on that. And we will at some point do personalization at scale, creator-led media, collapsing of the customer journey. But until next time, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope it was useful. Get prompting. We will release the prompt library really soon so you can get all these yourself.